This is Central Time. Now, recent changes to the multi-state Great Lakes Compact could impact how municipalities outside of the immediate watershed are granted access to the lakes for water. While the rule changes were welcomed by some, other leaders argue that the new guidelines don't go far enough and don't fully include all groups with a stake in the issue, and that includes tribal organizations. Danielle Kading is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News based in Superior. Danny, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. How you doing?
Good. Well, the Great Lakes Compact is this big, kind of complicated deal. What are some of the changes here that the member states are approving?
So it's pretty technical and procedural. They're changing the rules and procedures for how these withdrawals are reviewed and how council decisions would be appealed. And I guess pretty much it seems like most of the angst with the decision by the council is what wasn't included in these changes. John Dickert, who is the former mayor of Racine, he is now the president of the Great Lakes Mayors and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative, and they take issue with the changes because they feel like they don't allow enough public input on water diversion proposals.
Well, let's look at the compact a little bit big picture. The simple part of the rules is if you're completely outside the watershed, if you're a state away or even a few counties away, you can't touch the water. A lot of the gray area is people who are in straddling communities, right? Cities that are partly in the watershed or partly not, or in straddling counties. Those are the communities where there's a decision to make, right, about whether or not they can withdraw water.
Right, yeah. The whole intent of the compact was to make it, or at least that the mayors would argue, is to make it more difficult to divert water from the Great Lakes Basin. And so, as you said, the only communities that can do that are the ones that are straddling that basin line or are located in a county that straddles the basin. So, yeah, you're right. It's intended so that only there would only be a few exceptions to this rule, and that's where the Compact Council comes in and makes these decisions on proposals that come forward, like the city of Waukesha or Mount Pleasant.
Oh, the Foxconn industrial development.
Right, yeah. Earlier this year, Wisconsin approved up to 7 million gallons per day to be diverted from the city of Racine to Mount Pleasant to serve that plant. You know, that's been challenged by environmental groups, and that's still ongoing.
And you mentioned mayors and some others worried about the changes that weren't in this new look for the compact. And one of those seems to be about getting public input. What were some of the critics hoping to see when it came to getting the public involved in decisions for communities like, say, Waukesha or Mount Pleasant or community to be named later?
Yeah, one of the biggest things that they really wanted to see with this whole process when things are reviewed is a mandatory public hearing in each state or province. You know, John Dickert, again, the former mayor of Racine, says if you're going to be diverting Great Lakes water, that's something that every state and province should have a voice in, as well as First Nations and tribes. And so they want to have public hearings held everywhere before those decisions are made. And right now, it's kind of where the council will hold a hearing if it's of interest to the state or to the province. It's not required.
And you also reported that you just mentioned First Nations or tribal organizations have concerns about changes that weren't made. What kinds of things are we hearing there?
Yeah, First Nations and tribes have said they want a greater role, a greater voice in the council's consideration of these proposed water diversions. The Anishinaabeg Nation in Canada, which represents around 40 tribes, I believe, there, has said that the council should recognize First Nations and tribes who are not just stakeholders, that they have jurisdiction over the lakes. Then they argued yesterday again when the council was holding its meeting that they never ceded their rights to lake beds and waters under treaties. So they feel that they should have a voice in whether or not these water diversions are approved.
So with these two sets of concerns you raised, tribal concerns and then concerns about public hearings in each state and province involved, is there an idea that, okay, we've made these changes, but we're going to keep looking, the Great Lakes Compact members, we're going to keep looking at the agreement and maybe addressing these issues? Or is it, okay, dust our hands off. We've done what we're going to do, and we're done for a while.
Yeah, no, the Compact Council has argued all along that this is just another step in the process, that there are going to be other tests of the Compact Council, and that with each new experience, they are better prepared to face the concerns or make modifications or adjust things so that they are responsive to some of the fears that people have regarding these proposed diversions. So they've said that, you know, some of the things that they might talk about in the upcoming year would be discussions over monitoring and enforcement of proposed diversions, because right now I don't believe there's anything there that says that these diversions must be monitored, and to enforce that the amount of water that is diverted is in fact what is being withdrawn from the lakes.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Danny, the two big stories in water diversion since the Great Lakes Compact, as we mentioned, Waukesha here in Wisconsin,
right.
Foxconn here in Wisconsin. Are we getting some side eye from the other states? Like, hey, why is Wisconsin putting all these things to the test?
Well, I guess that's just where the controversy is and the proposals are. I mean, as you said, Waukesha was at the center of it, with up to around 8.2 million gallons of water per day being diverted from Lake Michigan, and also Foxconn now. And that one is going to be very interesting, as environmental groups have challenged it, because they're arguing that it doesn't meet the requirements of the compact, because they're withdrawing it for a commercial use rather than a public water supply use. The DNR has said otherwise, that doesn't actually serve the public. So it'll be up to that whole process to decide whether or not it in fact meets the intent of the compact.
Danny, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
Danielle Kading is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News based in Superior. She joined us with the latest on changes coming to the Great Lakes Compact that dictates how municipalities can withdraw water from the Great Lakes, where they have to be, and how they do it.